Although, yes, eventually, you know, the Grow Network is our objective is to be having an impact on Monsanto's bottom line here pretty soon, right? The food supply really is toxic, and there's very, very little in a grocery store that's actually edible and nutritious to the human body. The United States, gosh, we are way more malnourished than most other places in the world. Like, people think, oh, these poor Africans, you know, they're malnourished. Americans, by far, are much more malnourished. Yeah, we are looking at some large, slow, massive die-offs, quite frankly, and it's really hard to face that kind of truth.
To Business Game Changers, I'm Sarah Westall. I am doing a show on making your own medicine and growing your own food. I have Marjorie Wildcraft coming on, and she's from the Grow Network. It's the largest organization in the world working with, they have 250,000 people that are involved in growing their own food and making their own medicine. Their mission is to get people off big agriculture, big pharma. And she's coming on and she's going to talk about why that's their mission. What are the issues that they're seeing? She predicts that there's going to be a huge die-off of people in this country because of the illness, the malnutrition that we've been getting for years. She says that the people in the United States are the most malnourished people in the world. And she's going to explain that and what kind of an epidemic that we're going to see. You know, people are saying there's a depopulation agenda. I don't know if there is or not, but the facts are coming out that we might have a big depopulation here just from malnutrition. And she's going to explain that. And it doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy or not, if it ends up happening. And so, to me, it's kind of some red flags, and is it true or not, and what can we do about it? So let's get into that interview now with Marjorie Wildcraft. Hi, Marjorie. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I'm super jazzed to be here.
Well, awesome. You're doing such amazing work. Your passion, it seems, is, and based on your mission of what you're doing, is to get people off big pharma and big agriculture. Can you explain what you're doing in a nutshell?
Sure. Well, I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is the online home of a global community of people who are producing their own food and medicine. And actually, I was recently told by some folks that this is the largest organization on earth that is focused on this. The purpose of the Grow Network is to stop the destruction of the earth. And our catalyzing statement is homegrown food on every table. You know, the largest destructive forces on this planet are commercial agriculture and commercial medicine, basically.
And when you're saying destructive, not just to the earth, but to our own bodies.
Well, your body is a part of the earth. You are a living embodiment of the earth. And you're, yes, it's destructive to the people. It's destructive to the animals. It's destructive to the physical soil, to our rivers, our oceans. It's just a hugely destructive process.
Well, are you worried about being a target? Have you been, or are you worried about that?
Not so much, but I do know, and that's because, you know, our organization only is in what, 150, actually we have about 250,000 people in the database and 150,000 active people. So we're not really big yet, but I do have a lot of associates. Mike Adams at the Natural News. I went recently over to Mike's and we were doing some videos together. He shows up, he's got a 45 on his hip. I'm like, Mike, isn't that a little bit of overkill? He says, no, I've had numerous death threats. You know, I mean, there are issues in this space with these large corporations once you begin to irk them. And, you know, the Grow Network, let me give you another quick story as to why growing food is a very neutral, it transcends politics, it transcends religion, it transcends everything. And I'll give you one great story. So I live outside of Austin, and Austin has a lot of activists, right? And there's this one wonderful young man named John Bush. And to give you a thumbnail sketch of John is the kind of guy that gets kicked out of, you know, city town hall for a year for being too vocal, right? he's an activist, right? He's going to these meetings. So he gets kicked out for a year. And one thing that really scared me a while back was a lot of our activists got into growing food a few years back. They were even giving up on the system. They're like, look, it's no sense in fighting the system. We think this thing is going down. We had better prepare for our families. And so John was also starting to grow food. Anyway, he goes back to City Hall, and he's leaving. He says his piece at the council meeting, and he's headed out. And he just can't help himself on the way out. And he sees the two cops there, and they're there. And he says, hey, you guys know that you guys are just, you know, emblems for the power of the state. Like, there you are with guns on your hips and ammo on your belt. And everybody who came into this building was already screened, so we know nobody here has any weapons. And you realize that you're just pawns of the state, you know? And, you know, you kind of laugh because there's definitely a...
What did they say to him? Silent?
There's a little bit of truth. Well, these guys knew John. And so they're kind of like, and they just start turning and talking toward each other about, and it turns out that they're gardeners. And they were talking about how bad the summer was for tomatoes in Texas and all that. And well, you know, John's now a gardener too. And he starts talking in and pitching in, and they're all talking. And they're all talking about tomatoes and what worked and what varieties of squash don't get eaten up by the squash vine borer. And they're talking for about 15, 20 minutes, getting along. And then lo and behold, out from the judge comes out of chambers and is walking by, and he too is a gardener. And then these four men are all having this real animated conversation and writing down names so that they can pass seeds around. These four guys who were all in contention just 20 minutes ago, over food, they have come together. And I have seen that over and over again. I know people who are extraordinarily difficult. You know those people in your life that have that personality that you're like, ugh. Well, you take that person, and if they're growing food and they're in there with their chickens or in their garden, they completely transform. So I feel that growing food is a neutral, it's a neutral common ground. And I'm not too concerned about ever having my life threatened. Although, yes, eventually, you know, the Grow Network is our objective is to be having an impact on Monsanto's bottom line here pretty soon, right?
Well, what do you think about Big Pharma? Because they have known to be pretty aggressive about things, and you're telling people they can grow their own or make their own medicine, which is healthier, and you're getting all those chemicals out of it. Are you afraid you'll be a target of them?
I personally am not afraid. I also have, you know, I have the... you know, sort of like a Martin Luther King. It's recently been Martin Luther King's, time when we've talked about him. But when you're on the side of right, I don't feel, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe I'll be in big trouble. But I don't, you know, the medicine that we make and use has been used historically. 5,000 years ago, they dig up the guy from the ice, and there he has garlic in his pocket. And he has the usnea. He has the other herbs that we still use today. And this is traditional human medicine. This whole pharmaceutical thing is just, you know, like
new.
In the 50 years. So, you know, possibly I could be under threat at some point in the future. But I feel that would just be an indication of our success. And I personally don't feel threatened at this point in time.
Well, good for you, because I think that's how I feel. It's like, well, I'm doing truth. I'm just, if I'm threatened, okay. But this is what we have to do, and eventually the right side of history, you know, truth is, and doing the best you can to find truth is the right side of history.
And we have to do this. We mm-hmm. have to do this. Mm-hmm. So our catalyzing statement is homegrown food on every table, and I've had a lot of people give me flack for that. Like, you got to be kidding, Marjorie. You know, have you ever gone to the grocery store in the morning and you see all those semi-trucks, beep, beep, backing up, you know? Unloading. A lot of people know that there's only about 4 days. You go into a grocery store and it looks like there's a huge amount of food, but there's really only 4 days worth of inventory in there because there's so many people. There's a huge turnover going on. And they're like, how are you ever going to get people to grow their own food and replace that system? And I'm like, look, one way or another, we're all going to have some homegrown food on our table. Either you choose it and create it, or it happens to you and you find yourself doing it, or, you know, you die, because the system we have is completely unsustainable.
What are you learning about the big agriculture that people don't know? I mean, you're the expert on this. So what are the average person, and maybe even, you know, listeners are probably a little bit more educated than average if they're listening to this, but what do you know that a lot of people don't know?
The commercial food supply is toxic. I don't think the average person realizes how dangerous it is to eat food that you buy from the grocery store or that you eat at restaurants. It really is toxic to the human body. Apparently, it's legal to kill somebody slowly, which is what we found with the whole cigarette thing, right, or other things. But really, the amount of chemicals, the way that that food is processed, the pesticides and herbicides, the overuse of antibiotics. In my own lifetime, I have seen just the population of the United States explode in obesity. When I was a little kid growing up, there were only two fat people I knew, and one was a fictitious character. One was Sandra, bless her heart. She was just a big girl. And the other was Fat Albert, who was a commercial.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, or Santa Claus. All right, three. You know, two fictitious characters. You know, and go back and look at the movies from the 70s, the 60s onward. You know, people just weren't. And then just in my own eyes, over the decades, there's this explosion. That's not genetics. You know, and it also correlates.
You go to France, they're a little bit more like what we used to be. And then you come here, it's almost overwhelming. Then you get to see the difference, like immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the food supply. I mean, there's a lot of other lifestyle stuff too, for sure. But, you know, it's the food supply. The food supply really is toxic. And there's very, very little in a grocery store that's actually edible and nutritious to the human body.
So is it lacking nutrition and have chemical laden issues that are slowly killing us?
Absolutely. Both.
It's both issues.
Both issues. The soils that we've been farming, the commercial farming, they only focus on three elements, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, NPK. If you've ever seen a fertilizer bag, you see those letters. That's what that represents. And that's all that commercial agriculture focuses on because it's the three big nutrients you need to have plants be healthy. But actually, plants like you, and that's kind of like almost like in a human being, we know about carbohydrates and protein and fat, right? Those are kind of the big ones. But you need a ton of other micronutrients, right? You need, you know, copper and selenium and vitamin B12 and all this other stuff. Well, the same thing is true for plants. And those big commercial agriculture, they've been planting over and over and over and over again in those same fields for decade after decade after decade. And really, all there is in there is that NPK, which actually they apply too much and it ends up going into our water supply and everywhere else, making a huge mess. But there's none of those malnutrition. United States, gosh, we are way more malnourished than most other places in the world. Like people think, oh, those poor Africans, you know, they're malnourished. Americans, by far, are much more malnourished. Less than half of the U.S. population is getting half of the RDA, the recommended daily allowance. And the RDA is not what you need to be healthy. That's only the minimum amount of nutrition that you need not to show symptoms of disease.
So you're not talking calories. You're talking the minimum RDA of nutrients.
Right.
And there's a difference.
Yeah. So the RDA is just to show not to show symptoms of disease, right? There's a huge difference between not having symptoms and then being healthy, right? You need, depending on the nutrient, anywhere from twice to 10 times as much as what the RDA recommends for really vibrant health. So
that's one of the reasons we're seeing every disease just skyrocket. And then our average age has decreased, which should be alarm bells for people.
Those numbers are starting to come up. And, you know, my own mom lived to 93, and I know there's a lot of that generation that are living up into their 90s, but we are about to see a huge cliff with age, with dropping off and dying earlier. And let me give you just one example. So the CDC says that they fully predict that one third of all children born after 2000 will have diabetes, and most likely type 2 diabetes in their lifetime. Now, how do you talk to a human being that gets diabetes in their 20s or 30s? How do you expect them to have any kind of life, and how do you expect them to get to 70 or 80, right? When you know right from the get-go they're going to have diabetes, right, when they're young, right? You know?
Well, since they haven't gotten the proper nutrition as they were growing up, Can they reverse it getting proper nutrition now?
I am a big believer in the resiliency of that. Actually, there have been studies that have been done on cats, for example. Dr. Pottinger did a whole series of cats on cats where they intentionally malnourished them for several generations. And then, of course, after a while, the cats could not reproduce. But then they took the ones that were really damaged and they gave them healthy food. And within a few generations, they were able to regain full expression of cathood that you would expect.
But only
And I
after a few generations. That cat that was malnourished while they were growing up doesn't ever fully recover.
That's true. I have a cat right now that I picked up. It was a few months old and it had been severely malnourished, and it never will achieve the full growth that it could have had. It had kittens, and its kittens are huge because I gave those kittens really good food. So I've seen it, and it is, I was talking with Sally Fallon, who is a huge proponent of making sure that people get enough nutrition, and she's been, whoa, talk about a lady with a backbone. I mean, she has really been on it about what really is healthy and what isn't, and traditional diets and how that really is more nutritious. And she and I were talking, I was joking around, I was saying, it just kind of pisses me off that these kids are all wearing bicycle helmets all the time. When I grew up, we never wore helmets, we crashed into all kinds of stuff. And she said, oh, Marjorie, kids these days need helmets. And I said, why? And she said, because they're not getting enough calcium in their diets. Their skulls are thinner. And the number of fractures and concussions and head injuries is skyrocketing with young people because they're not getting the fundamental nutrition that they need. So they need to wear helmets.
Wow, that's really amazing. So now, do the food companies all know this? Big agriculture knows this and they don't care.
I honestly don't know. I have to look back. If I had been a captain of industry after World War II, which is where we really went into commercial, chemical, mechanized agriculture in a big way, they basically said, hey, the war is over. Normally, you have a huge recession or a depression, which you should, because you just destroyed a huge amount of resources, so you've got to rebuild that, right? And they said, well, we got starving people all over the world. And they said, well, let's turn our munitions factory, let's turn these factories that used to make tanks, and let's turn them into a factory that makes tractors. And then these factories that make munitions, a lot of the nitrates and things that you need to make weapons and bullets also are the same chemical components for chemical fertilizers. They said, let's just transform these plants and basically roll out this green agriculture. And, if I had been a captain of industry at that point in time, I would have said, well, here's the resources we have, and this looks like a solution to keep people from starving. I can't fault how it has unfolded. And I honestly don't know. I mean, there's lots of people who look at Monsanto and go, they're just vicious and they're evil. They're so big and they're basically fighting to survive and stay alive, and they'll do anything to stop any competitor, which might even be a home gardener. I honestly don't know. I know that a lot of the problem is just, my own generation. When I was growing up, I was more interested in color TVs and college educations and computers than I was in, growing food, right? So.
So it could be a combination of us just being super ignorant. It's much easier, and there's people that know the truth and aren't doing anything. It's a combination of things, like everything else.
Yeah, I believe so.
So now Monsanto, though, has done some things that are really creepy, that you can't, it's hard to look at it any other way, where they're trying to control the seeds and they're not even letting farmers use their own seeds to grow food, and they've patented them and everything else. What do you think about that? Because that's a little bit over the top.
That is over the top. I mean, that really is just outright, egregious. And that is a large organization doing absolutely whatever it can to continue to perpetuate itself. And on the other hand, there also is this other issue. So there's a huge issue right now. In fact, your food is on the verge of going extinct. So in the last century, depending on which study you've read, we've lost 70 to 90% of all of our heirloom vegetable varieties.
Why? Why are we losing all our vegetable varieties?
Because those vegetable varieties need to be maintained by a bevy, an army of backyard gardeners. So these different heirloom varieties, big corporations and even to some extent organic farmers, they don't really grow those seeds. And if nobody's growing them, they just stop.
Do we
They're
have databases of seeds that we're keeping and trying to maintain our library of food?
We do. There's an organization called the Seed Savers Exchange. It was founded by Diane Ott Wheely. And Diane is the classic story. She got, it was a couple of different varieties. I think it was some tomatoes and some other maybe beans or something like that, that some of her elders were just about to pass. And they said, oh, by the way, here's these seeds. And that we've been growing, this has been growing in our family for, as far back as you can know. And we've developed them. And she's holding these seeds, and she realizes that if she doesn't plant these and grow these, then they end. They end with her. And it's her responsibility. And so she began to grow out. And for most people, growing out and saving seed, that's the way to keep it. Now, you can take seeds and do all this cryptogenic stuff and put it in a vault. And they have built a vault up in north of Norway, almost on the North Pole, like right next to Santa Claus. But and that's a good thing, although to be honest with you, Monsanto has a stake in that, which is a little bit nerve-wracking. But these seeds are not being maintained. The same with our livestock. There's a group called the Livestock Conservancy. There used to be this whole bevy of different kind of like pigs that were good for fat, or pigs that were known for their great taste for bacon, or chickens that survived really well in the cold up north, or chickens that really did produced well just on forage in the south. And because we don't have that whole bevy of backyard gardeners and backyard producers anymore, if nobody takes care of those varieties, they just die off. And they have been dying off. We have lost a huge amount of genetics. And a large part of that is due to us, of not growing food. The other thing is, and that's something what the Grow Network is trying to do. So we have what we call the Growers Arc, where we have products and services and information that takes you from one, which is somebody who doesn't know anything, is just going to start learning to maybe grow some herbs on a windowsill, all the way through every journey you need to go through until you're breeding your own variety of vegetables and your own varieties of livestock. And making a contribution to your region, your family, and to the human, pool of genetics. But without those things, here's another quick little, soundbite. The average American only eats about 12 different food sources. And you might say, no, I got it. But really, like potatoes, wheat, corn, soy, tomatoes, just a few things. And every bit of meat and cheese is basically also corn, wheat, and soy, because that's what they feed the animals, right? So we're really down to a very minimal amount of things. Your average person a couple hundred years ago ate several hundred different varieties of things, and then hunter-gatherers ate several thousand variety of different things. And that was, they were getting all this different nutrition from these different sources, but they also had a variety of different sources. If this didn't work this year, it was okay because they had 20 other things, that they would harvest from. We have the example of the Irish potato famine. If we don't wake up and think about it, right now there are only primarily two varieties of corn that is grown in the United States. The Irish potato famine was when the Irish, they were only basically growing one or two types of potatoes, and their potato crops failed for a couple of years. That whether that happened naturally or whether that was because the English did some sort of monkey around with that is still debatable. But the fact is, as millions of people have died, and then of course the US, there were millions that immigrated here to avoid the famine. The US is right now in our existing modern world has that very same predicament. We are just as vulnerable today, if not more so.
So what do you think of the big corporations? I mean, the problem is getting so serious, with obesity. I mean, it's hard to ignore all these diseases. I did different reports and blogs and things on all these diseases that are increasing. I mean, the charts look like this. The average age is decreasing, the amount of autism, stress levels in kids are skyrocketing. I mean, we have an epidemic. I mean, we have other issues too, like abuse issues and things that we could talk about, but that's a whole nother topic. But I mean, we just have all these issues. Do you think the corporations are acknowledging it, or are they just ignoring it because it's going to hurt their bottom line?
I honestly don't know. I think that I don't think that there's enough of a movement yet for them to perceive it as a threat. There are some instances where, you know, they may have the USDA come in and raid some people for some backyard stuff. And there's definitely been USDA raids on people for raw milk and things like that. But I do feel that the movement is gaining a lot of momentum and a lot of steam. So we have a pendulum where we went completely to centralized agriculture. And now there's becoming much, much more awareness, you know, the forks over knives and the king corn and a lot of the documentaries about, hey, the food supply is a problem. And there is much more of a palpable movement of like, we got to get more local food going. You know, there's much more awareness now of CSAs and local farmers markets and more school gardens going in. But we're really still just on the tip of this backswing. And there will be a tremendous amount of disruption as this movement gains steam. There will be a tremendous amount of disruption to these large corporations, and rightfully so.
Well, we need it. I mean, if it's killing us, if we're not getting the proper nutrition, everybody's trying to make up for the nutrition with pills. And pills isn't the same thing as eating the food naturally, is it?
It's not. It's really not. There is nothing the same as getting that food. And you know what? The most nutritious food that you can grow is stuff you can grow in your backyard, because you'll be able to build really deep, rich soil that has a lot of minerals and a lot of life and a lot of vitality. And you'll be able to pick it at its absolute peak of ripeness. You won't have to wait for that to be transported, you know, 2 weeks across.
Well, it ripens in the grocery store, ripens. So when it's ripening in the grocery store, are you losing a lot of its nutrients?
Well, sure, because if it's ripening on the vine, the plant can still continue to add nutrients and develop that whatever it is that you're eating, the tomato, for example. But if they pick it green and ship it, yeah, well, it turns red and it looks ripe, but it did not continue to get the nutrients from the plant to fully develop. So the most delicious and the most ripe and the most perfect food that has the deepest amount of nutrition is going to come from your own backyard. And I can tell you, I can taste it. You know, I eat almost all of my own homegrown food or food that I've bought from local farmers that I trust. And when I travel, I eat still at very good restaurants, I can absolutely taste that the food that they have does not have the same nutrient density as my own homegrown food.
Yeah, you start to develop a taste. So how bad do you think it'll have to get before people start waking up? I mean, because to me, I see the warning signs everywhere. But
yeah.
How bad does it really have to get before people go, okay, we are in dangerous territory now, and we got to get our act together?
I, you know, like you, I'm appalled. And I would have thought there would have been a lot more activism before this. So I think it's probably going to have to get a lot worse. I almost see a divide between people who have some wisdom and are proactive and those that aren't.
I mean, you can almost see it when they're walking around of somebody who looks healthy versus doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, if anybody wants to see how true this is, just spend a little bit of time at your grocery store and look at the person and then look at what's in their basket. You know, if the person looks pretty healthy, chances are you're going to see a lot of produce and fresh meats and that kind of thing. You know, if you see someone who's overweight, you're going to see all kinds of boxes and bags and bottles of stuff, right? It's really obvious. The next level to that, though, is producing your own food. I just can't emphasize enough how important it is. And you know, a lot of people go, oh, I'm just not ready for that. You know, like, oh, God, you're talking about more work. I can show you how to grow half of your own food in your backyard in less than an hour a day. Half. And that's hugely substantial. If half of your diet was your own homegrown food, you would see tremendous boosts in your health and your vitality, you know, your complexion, your energy levels. And it's not that difficult. It's actually fairly easy to do.
Well, that's why I want local farmers everywhere, being honest, because I can't see myself totally doing that either. But, you know, I've always thought, gosh, I want to do it, but it'd be another project. I'm overwhelmed already. I would like to see people, farmers all over the place. I would like, it's the fact that we've centralized versus have a whole bunch of them everywhere.
You know, I know everybody says, and we do need a lot more small farmers, but that genetics problem is what is more compelling. Small farmers do not have time to develop the genetics that we need. Actually, the genetics and the new vegetable varieties and that adaptable chicken or that adaptable pig, that came all from backyard producers. Organic farmers do not have time to trial and test and develop new vegetable varieties. They're busy producing food and making a living.
They can't even compete right now because they're competing against commercial farms. So in this transition, we're going to have more people do it in their backyard because the small farmers can't even compete. Go ahead.
We're always going to have people doing it in their backyard, but it's a lot of fun. It's not like, oh, I got to do this. First of all, for me, that hour a day I spend out in the garden or with the rabbits or whatever, that is the best hour of the entire day. You know, you don't take a cell phone out there, right? And you're just engaged with you refilling your senses and your fresh air and sunshine, and you're doing something that is meaningful. You are growing deep nutrition that is making your body healthy and strong. As a woman, to me, to serve my family food that I know is going to make them healthy and keep them vibrant, that is what I signed up for when I signed up to be a wife and a mother. I mean, that is the most fulfilling thing.
That's awesome. Well, and doesn't the ground and the air and everything feed you stuff that you need? Just having your feet on the ground and your hands in the soil, and it gives you different...
Absolutely. It absolutely does. So that, you know, I hear you saying, oh, another project.
For me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. I need to have a neighbor who loves me and we can share or swap things.
Well, there's a lot of ways to work that out too. But here's this, you know, what's an hour a day for this, which is an incredible, I mean, some people go to yoga or they hang out on Facebook or they do all this and that. But what about your own body, your own soul? You know, this is an important thing. But here's the other thing, and this is what the Grow Network is also, we're trying to figure out how to bring back. The way that we got a lot of the diversity of vegetables and things that we have was through regional contests. So, you know, down south of me in South Texas, they had this huge strawberry festival, and, you know, who grew the biggest strawberries and who grew the tastiest ones, and, you know, and you would enter those. It would like the old, you know, state fairs and county fairs. Or, you know, the chickens, or, you know, who had the biggest chicken, or, you know, what, you know, all the different things. That's where who had a squash that could store the longest so you could eat
squash. We just need to change the culture back to that. And that's what you're trying to do. And it would change our health.
It would. You know, we have many complex problems on the planet, many of them. And you mentioned quite a few of them at the very beginning. The solution is very simple. And really, you know, this mass shooting they just had in Florida, good Lord, you know, if people were growing food and back to such basic principle, simple things of how do I source directly from the earth, there's such a healing in that, right? There's such a healing.
Well, taking control of your own stuff. But let's get into the drug stuff, making your own medications, because you have a e-series with free information to help people on, 12 different ailments. Why did you decide that was important?
You know, it comes from a story. One day I used to actually be a very successful investment money manager, and we were structuring these high yielding real estate investment limited partnerships, and my son was a little toddler at the time, and I was on the phone, and I was in an argument with a building contractor who had done a really shoddy job, and I was having to talk to attorneys and get this whole thing set up, and my son's over there playing on the floor, and I thought, this is not how I want to live my life, right? I want something more out of life. I signed up for motherhood that was different, right? And then, you know, we got sick a lot back then, and we would do what everybody else did. We'd run down to the grocery store or the drugstore and grab, you know, a couple of those bottles, which were chemical cocktails, having no idea what was in that stuff, and then just taking it and hoping for the best. And I said, you know, I know there's got to be a better way. And I think home medicine is often a real empowering way for people to get into this rather than, you know, if I say, okay, I want you to grow your own food, you go, my, I got too many projects. But I say, look, why don't you start learning how to treat 12 of the most common ailments that come up in a family and start becoming more empowered that way. And so we developed the Home Medicine 101, and it shows people, you know, fevers, what to do about a fever, coughs, you know, colds. What are some, you know, a laceration or a burn? I mean, there's tons of really simple, you just using, you know, garlic or honey or an aloe plant. I mean, so simple and so holistic. And you can't even read the stuff that's on the fine print that they're selling you over the counter, right? That stuff is huge. The number one killer in the United States is the medical system,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's above cancer and it's above heart disease. It's medical errors and it's their...
Well, they don't let people know that. That's hard to find. But yes.
That's, you know, and I really believe that 90% of all the things that come up in a family should be treated at home. They really should be. This is stuff that our grandparents did. Our great grandparents and throughout history, those people never went to doctors, you know?
Well, they just knew how to deal with the basic stuff. They learned it throughout history. They've spent thousands of years learning how to do certain things. And then we think we're magically smarter than everybody over the last 100.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why my mom lived to 93. She never went to a doctor.
Yeah. Well, we gotta stop being so arrogant, realizing that people before us weren't like primitive. I mean, they were still human beings with brains. And so they figured things out over thousands of years. We don't just throw away everything they figured out.
Yeah. And you know what's great? So right now, one thing I'm really passionate about is the overuse of antibiotics. So we are starting to have superbugs, antibiotic resistant bugs that people are dying right now. They go in the hospital and either they had the infection or they pick the infection up in the hospital. The medical system throws every antibiotic they have at them, and they still die. You know, kidney infection, urinary tract infection, whatever, and different types of infections. The CDC, and this is a few years old, I think the number may even be higher than this, says 23,000 Americans per year will die from antibiotic-resistant infections. And that's just because, you know, we've handed out antibiotics like candy. You know, you go get a tooth pulled and they give you antibiotics. If almost anything happens to you, you get an ear infection and they give you antibiotics. You know, we know that the antibiotics aren't that effective against treating ear infections, but they give them to you. You know, they give you the antibiotics in the meat supply. Oh my God, it's so horrible. These animals are raised in these unbelievably confined areas. And then really what they want to do is die. Because anybody living in those kind of conditions would want to die.
Well, I saw that but
they keep these animals alive with these antibiotics and stuff. Like, it is torturous.
Well, I saw these cows with holes in their belly and they were using it, wiping it with antibiotics to make sure they were okay. I mean, it was kind of weird, but yeah.
And life is life, right? You know, and it's figured out like, oh my God, you know, we're going to, you know, the bugs get smarter and they figure it out. And even the guys who started creating the antibiotics said, look, this is going to end badly. And this is where we are.
You have more information on how to make antibiotics, right?
Well, here's the great thing. So let me give you an example of garlic. First of all, if you go to get tetracycline, what's the main ingredient? It's tetracycline, right? If you go to get penicillin, you know, what do you got? You got one thing, it's penicillin, right? Well, life can, you know, millions and billions of bacteria eventually get around that and they figure out how to come around penicillin and they make penicillin useless. And actually they developed something even worse, which the overuse of penicillin has been the genesis of MRSA. So we're actually creating even worse things from it. But take something as simple as garlic. It has at least 25, I believe the latest research is 35 different components that are antimicrobial, antibacterial, antifungal. So your bacteria that's the bad bacteria comes up against that. There's 25 different things. It's not going to ever figure that out, right? Garlic, which, as I said, you know,
how effective is garlic when you have a problem and you take, is this as effective as taking an antibiotic that you're not resistant to?
It's in some cases, it's way more effective. The other thing is that there's not, you know, you're not that you're not contributing to the antibiotic resistance issue. So,
well, it's just fascinating. It's so much healthier for our communities. Well, it's good to know that there's other things we can do when we don't, when all these antibiotics aren't working anyways. Because
you know what, go over to Home Medicine 101 and we'll offer you a book I wrote. I wrote an ebook to just teach people the basics. Like, you know, don't try to cure cancer on your first step out, but there's some really simple things to treat ear infections, to treat coughs, or to even just boost your immune system before, like, you know, like before the holidays come, right? I know I'm going to be meeting all my crazy in-laws and distant relatives, and we're all going to be crammed into small houses with not good, you know, circulation. So I take some garlic proactively ahead of time just to boost my immune system. And I show you how to do that in this ebook. It's a garlic book. And just head over to Home Medicine 101 and they'll offer you that as a free thing.
Awesome.
But we do,
okay.
You know, this is just great medicine that has, and what's so great about it is it's still effective. You know, even though we have all these antibiotics and that whole thing, which is getting out of control and not working, these ancestral medicines still are highly effective and still work.
Well, that's my point, where we suddenly think that we're so much more advanced now. And in a lot of ways, we're less advanced, you know, culturally and spiritually and all sorts of things. But just because we have some, you know, high tech stuff, a computer and networks and things, does not make us suddenly superior to humans over the last 1,000 years. They were smart too. They were just like us. So it's really dumb that we suddenly think that what we can create over the last 100 years magically is better than everything.
Yeah, you know, we've learned. You know, we've tried this direction and it didn't work. Like, so let's
and
go
some
back
of it's
to...
good. Some of it's good, but a lot of it isn't. And it's hurting us. Yeah. So let's be smarter.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, people have said I'm crazy, but I'm like, look, you know, what else would I do with my life energy right now? You know, right. Clearly, I have an engineering degree and an MA in business and psychology, and I could be doing all kinds of stuff for the corporations. But, you know, I wake up and actually I had this big wake up call. It was like when my son was calling around and I said, you know what? This is what I want to do with my life energy. I really want to address this issue. And, you know, people go, Marjorie, you're going to stop the destruction of the earth. Actually, I used to say that to myself. Like when I first had that thought, I was like, oh my God, like that's ridiculous to think that I could have any kind of impact like that. Right. But then on the other hand, I said, you know, it's ridiculous for me to live my life any other way.
Well, it's ridiculous to start to see stuff. It's kind of like me. I can't unlearn what I've learned. You know, I'm learning all these things like, oh, my God, I can't not do anything. And so it's like you suddenly realize all these things. It's like, well, sorry, but now you're stuck. You got to focus on it because you now know that we have a major epidemic that's going to be hitting us, or it's starting to already. And in big ways.
Yeah. We are looking at some large, slow, massive die-offs, quite frankly, and it's really hard to face that kind of truth, but that's...
Now, do you think that's on purpose, these large, massive die-offs? A lot of people think there's a depopulation agenda, and when you start hearing things like that, you start wondering, well, gosh, is that on purpose, or is it just a collective stupidity along with greed?
Okay, so I've heard a lot of the conspiracy theories, and actually I don't really think conspiracy theory is a bad thing. I think there's a lot of truth to a lot of the discussions we're having about like what really is going on. Is there a depopulation agenda? You know, I'm not at that level of, you know, I'm not in those inner circles. It certainly looks like it, you know, And what a good way to do it is in a more slow and controlled manner, and also to basically take all the wealth out of that family. As you know, like, so let's say somebody in the family gets cancer, of course everybody's going to pour all their resources in to try and help that person as much as possible. So it's you know, I mean, that really is a horrible way to think about it, but it is a way that you can depopulate the planet and take away, regain all the wealth from those families in that process.
Yeah, because it wipes them out financially. But, you know, bottom line, does it matter if it's planned or not? It's happening and that we need to get things figured out?
Thank you. That is really my point at the end, because there's also nature herself. Like, we really are overpopulated and things are crazy. And even whether it's designed or whether, you know, some superbug just develops on its own, we are in a very, very precarious and vulnerable situation. The good news for me, though, is that we still can source directly from the earth. You still can produce your own food in your backyard. You do not have to go through a multinational, multi-billion, multi-agricultural business thing in order to be able to eat. You can do it yourself directly. And the same thing with your own medicine and your own body. You can heal yourself and you can treat yourself and you can take care of yourself without an industrial medical complex. I got bitten by a copperhead snake a couple of years ago, which is, you know, can be lethal. I didn't even think about it. I just came home and we worked on it at home here. We poulticed it up and I took care of it. And he was back to work in a few days. That's the kind of thing that you can do, you know?
It's
didn't
pretty incredible. And you have a lot of information on your website as well, don't you? I noticed you had hundreds of articles on different things that can help people.
We have a whole network and an organization. It's really fun because there's a lot of people that are like me that are saying, hey, here's what I did. I figured this out, or I tried this, or this worked, or, hey, have you ever thought about planting things in planters on the side of a building and doing this? Or, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of experiments going on, and there's this real fun give and take, and we honor the neighborhood change makers, like the people that are just working in a neighborhood. And we also honor, you know, the big people, and there's a voice for everybody there. It's a really, really fun and very proactive. And we're non-religious, we're non-political, and we're non-diet oriented. We don't waste time. There's plenty of other organizations that are good at addressing those issues. We just focus on solutions.
Well, it's so great what you're doing. I've read a stat that says that the number one hobby of people is gardening in the world.
It's coming back, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so rejuvenating. You know, it really is. As I said, that's my favorite hour of the day, right? It's to be out there outside with my food supply. Like, how much
We'll have a link. It's just amazing what you're doing. I was really impressed when I saw the hundreds of articles that help you do different things, whether it's medicine or grow your own food. And then also different articles on understanding what's going on and in certain foods. Very enlightening, very educational, hard to get elsewhere in that kind of database. Amazing resources. We're going to have...
It's all by people that are doing it. I mean, we're all really living this and doing it. It's thegrownetwork.com. We have a newsletter. We only send out 3 emails a week, so we don't bombard you on on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. We send out emails, and we have a collection of really useful blog posts and articles of interest. And then for anybody who's interested in the home medicine, go to Home Medicine 101, and you can pick up a copy of that free garlic report there.
And we'll have a link to that as well, so they can get the Home Medicine 101 and the book and everything else. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us and enlightening us. You're running the largest organization in the world on this, so you should be really proud, and it's overwhelming, but it's really cool.
It's really cool. And Sarah, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to talk to more people, because it's a movement. You know, I'll circle back to you in a few years when we have 1 million people in the network.
Absolutely. Yeah, when it starts to become like the cultural thing, you got to come back, and we're going to be like, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew Marjorie back when.
Yeah, and then you got to talk about how you're being targeted, and life is a little harder than it was.
But... I'll have my Glock on the hip right now.
Yeah, then you'll have your own Glock, gun rights, right? Okay, right. Well, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sarah.